Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Have you ever been called for jury duty? I'm sure some of you have. Maybe your family or friends at some point have. The graphic nature of some of the cases, particularly if you had to sit on a jury for a number of weeks hearing really graphic details of a murder case, sexual assault trial, perhaps even a rape trial for days, even weeks on end, I have no doubt can take its toll on people. And I'm wondering, in the aftermath of sitting on a jury for a number of weeks, how those jurors felt in the weeks that came. Were there any kind of support services offered, counselling available? We'd love to hear your experience today on the show. Reporter Anne Murphy is with me today because, Anne, you've been writing in the Irish Examiner about a pilot programme in the UK for the welfare of jurors. I've never sat on a jury. So what is the current situation here in Ireland? What do we offer people?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Well, pretty much nothing. You sit on the jury and you hear, as you mentioned there, some absolutely horrendous details. And then at the end of the trial, you're basically left loose back to your own life, back into society, having heard probably, you know, some of the most graphic and frightening things that you have ever heard of in your life, in cases of rape and murder especially. But you are not entitled to any counselling or support for the mental trauma that you can suffer as a result of being on a jury. And that is something that is being looked at in the UK at the moment. As you said, there's a pilot programme underway now in England and Wales currently, where a series of counselling is being offered to jurors sitting on cases in places like the Old Bailey, for example. But at the moment, what's being piloted here is the provision of a thank you leaflet, it's called. It's given to jurors in Cork, Limerick and Galway at the moment, and it has just been rolled out as well in the Criminal Courts of Justice in Dublin. And that just outlines some mental health supports that are available and provided by the HSE, but there is no state funding for it. This is all of your own volition to pursue this if you need to.
So we have a thank you leaflet, and then we do have a pilot programme at the moment in some courts, including the Criminal Courts of Justice, where anybody who's been there, whether it be as a journalist or a member of the public to witness what happens on a daily basis or has sat on a jury, they'll be aware that, you know, we hear difficult details often in the CCJ, Anne.
Absolutely. And like we can see it ourselves, I suppose, in the last couple of years, there seems to be a lot of horrific cases brought before the courts. And you know, like some outstanding ones, I suppose, that come to mind include the case of Enoch Friedel. In that case, the jury were excused from jury service for the rest of their lives. But that is a rare enough occurrence. We do have cases in the last couple of years where people are excused from jury duty for a set number of years, maybe 5 or 7 years.
Yeah.
But it is something that, when you have sat on a jury, you may have to face that again. And for some people, it can be quite traumatising.
And you won't get to pick what type of case you're called for. Like, if you've sat on a very harrowing, graphic case for a number of weeks and maybe you've been excused, as you say, Anne, by the judge for 5 or 6 years, you could be recalled down the line and you might well sit on a jury and listen to a similar case or a fairly serious case again.
Yes, there's no way of knowing when you are called for jury duty what you are going to be facing when you go and answer that civic duty, basically. A lot of people have concerns about it in relation to taking time off work and, you know, childcare and parking around the courthouse and that kind of thing. But I spoke to one juror, Joe Heron, based in the UK, but he has he comes back to Ireland on a regular basis as well, where he has relatives and a home. But he would have been working in TV and film as a writer and a director. He would have thought that he was, you know, relatively robust mentally until he had to sit on a murder case. And it was horrified by the reaction that he had to it as the time went on and afterwards. So sometimes people find it very difficult while they're actually sitting on the jury as well, because, you know, at the end of every day, I suppose your thoughts are with what you have seen during the day. And as we know, graphic images are shown in court. There's oftentimes where family members we know haven't been able to look. They've had to leave the courtroom. But unfortunately for a juror, they don't have that option to leave a courtroom. And so if there is something very upsetting or graphic being shown to them, they have no way of, you know, of escaping that, because they need to see it in order to form a judgment on the case.
Dr. Conor Hanley is with us as well, Anne. Conor's a lecturer in law at the University of Galway. So we don't have supports at the moment, Conor, for jurors. We do have a pilot programme, albeit in some parts of the country. I take it we need something like this then.
We do. I think anyone that turns their mind to it would realise that jurors who, let's remember, are in terms of the legal process, are rank amateurs. They have no experience, no training. Many probably have never set foot inside a courtroom before. They're suddenly thrust into this alien environment with sometimes fairly minimal guidance on what to do, and then they have to start listening to the details of the crime. If they're in the Central Criminal Court, then that's going to be a murder case or a rape case, which by their nature are going to be, you know, pretty icky evidence to hear. And then at the end of it, as Anne pointed out, you pretty much said, well, thanks very much. We'll excuse you from service for X number of years.
You might not even be excused.
You may not. Now, Central Criminal Court, I don't know for sure, but I imagine there would be some level of excusal. And in particularly difficult cases, it may well be excusable for life. But that's about it. It should also be pointed out that the facilities for jurors aren't always particularly good, just in terms of, you know, where to sit down, get a cup of tea, get a glass of water. The CCJ in Dublin is pretty good because it's purpose-built and there are a lot of lessons incorporated. But some of the older courtrooms, I was called for jury service in my hometown in Ennis, and I spent a lot of time sitting on a rock-hard, freezing-cold marble floor because there were no seats available until we were called into the courtroom to begin jury selection. There was nothing available, no water, nothing. And, you know, we tend to wax lyrical about the jury, and it's a cornerstone of our system and it's a major protection. And yet we treat jurors rather badly. And they're also the only people in the entire process who don't get paid. So it's a pretty raw deal in many respects.
But sure, I can see the messages starting to come in now, Conor, you know, from listeners about this. Majority of people, the minute they're called for jury duty, try their very best to get out of it. All sorts of excuses. They get onto the employer and everything.
Yeah, a lot do, and non-attendance is an issue. It is an unpleasant duty. It's a really important duty, and I think the first thing we could do is actually explain to people who are being called for jury service just how important this role is. That they're being asked to take part in a process that has gone on for literally centuries, that is designed to provide a high level of protection for individuals from the power of the state, and that it's actually the only real duty required of citizens. There is a theoretical obligation to, you know, pick up arms and defend the state, but most of us will never have to do that. Jury service is really the only thing that we ask. So I think the first thing we should do is explain to people why this is so important, what they're doing, that they're part of this legacy that goes back literally centuries, that has provided protection for individuals from the state and continues to provide protection from the state.
Yeah, text here from one listener. Absolutely, there should be greater supports for jurors. I was left traumatised by the case and would have appreciated a greater insight on what the outcomes could be as a result of that, says this listener. Marie is with me on the line today. Marie, you were previously called to sit called for jury duty. Is that right?
I was, Andrea, yeah. I found the outcome very traumatizing, and basically for the reason that I felt the us as being on the juries were didn't have enough information to hand, in the sense that some of the jurors wanted to wrap it up because one of them was getting windows fitted the next day. So was willing to sort of change their opinion just so they could be home for the window installer. It was very upsetting because we didn't all agree. And eventually I felt that an agreement was made because people had other things to do and they wanted to leave. So that was very upsetting for me. The outcome of it really traumatised me.
And in terms of, so first of all, that's just absolutely unbelievable, Maria, you know, to hear that. But in terms of the details, look, I know, you know, I'm always very conscious. There might, because there might be, you know, family members maybe of a case,
that's,
you know,
it,
listening or that. So I'm very conscious of that. But for you, as somebody who has sat through a trial and hearing probably fairly harrowing or intimate, difficult, graphic details that happened, you know, in the aftermath of all of this, does it stick with you, Marie?
It did, because I followed, you know, the person wasn't sentenced, the person was found guilty and wasn't sentenced at the time. So I kept a close eye, and it was on the news when he was sentenced. Now, as I said, without going into any detail, at the time, everyone said, "Ah, look, it's grand. This person is never going to get a custodial sentence because blah, blah, blah." And me and one or two others said, "We think he will under the circumstances." But everyone agreed that he probably didn't deserve a custodial sentence. But he got a custodial sentence. And I would imagine that even the ones who had said he was guilty at the time would have been really upset over that, because it was a strange case, but he wasn't per se a criminal, if you get my drift.
Okay.
So, like, at the end of the day, like, I cried when I heard on the news that he had gotten a custodial sentence. I cried. I actually physically cried. I was so upset. You know, and as I said, you're not prepared for that. You know, you're prepared. You're not prepared to think that, you know, you might be doing your civic duty. And I'm not saying everybody there wasn't doing their civic duty, but for some, it was just a let's go home. You know, it's the weekend coming up. I've got wind of, as I said, the window's just stuck in my mind, because this particular person was determined that they were going home that day because they were getting their,
so there was no, you were given no information about, you know, support services or mental health supports that are provided through the HSE.
Absolutely not.
And did you get this thank you letter that Anne talked about?
No. In fact, the only thing we thought, we weren't told we wouldn't be called again, but somebody said on the way out, "Oh, you won't be called again for, I think it's 5 years or something." But I was called again. I was called again within 3 years, and I made an excuse and didn't go, because I just, and it was purely because of the fact that I had been so traumatised from the last one that I thought, oh, and the off chance that I get called again, I wouldn't, you know, I it would upset me too much to see, you know, as I said, somebody's this was life changing for a person. And people were going on the premise of, oh, well, he mightn't get a custodial sentence.
I can understand.
That wasn't their decision to make.
Yeah,
wasn't the reason why we were to find them guilty or not guilty.
Yeah.
If we found them guilty, we had to accept that we would assume the worst, not the best.
Yeah, I see in Scotland. In Scotland, they have a dedicated counselling service for jurors. It's a 24/7, 365 day per week phone line online service that was set up for people who've sat on who've done jury duty. Referrals as well made to in person services. Do we need something like that here, Marie?
Well, I mean, put it this way, as you say, I didn't think of it at the time because it wasn't available. But listening to your programme, I did think at that time I would have rung and said, look, I'm really upset over this. But, you know, look, I'm always an advocate for counselling. I'm sure it might have helped in some way. But I think it's more important that maybe prior to this, that people are, you know, I mean, if you're going for a new job, you do some form of training course. Like, this is huge. Even if it was just an afternoon training course to say, listen, you're going to be called for jury service. This might happen. That might happen. Allow for the fact that this could take up one day of your life. It could take 3 days.
Sure, that's
a month.
The thing. And you've no idea.
You know, Yeah, but if, at least if you're prepared and that you're not going to be thinking, well, OK, I can do it next week, but the week after that, I'm heading off to Spain, so I'm definitely going to make sure it's finished by then, or I'm getting my windows done or whatever. Like, it's a very serious commitment.
Absolutely.
And I think, unfortunately, and I'm including myself in this, at the time, didn't realise the intensity of this commitment. I done it,
yeah.
You know, and then thought, like, you know, a man's life, like, not his life per se, but, like, it changed his life completely. And, you know, with some people sort of not realising the severity of it by thinking,
yeah,
well, look, regardless, I've got to get home. I can't do tomorrow. You know,
yeah.
So
no, it's a fair point. And thanks for getting in touch and sharing that with us, Marie. Alan is with us on the line. Alan, you've been called for jury duty.
I've been called several times, yeah.
Yeah. And have you sat on a trial or did you get out of it?
No, I mean, the first couple of times I actually got on the jury proper, but in both cases the defendant suddenly decided that they were guilty after all. So
changed their plea.
Basically, they didn't go ahead on that basis.
Okay.
The final time I had work commitments, which I just mentioned, I again got selected, but I mentioned the work commitments to the judge and got excused on that basis. I mean, I don't have any opposition to actually serving on a jury or anything.
Mm.
It was just more, you know, you could potentially be on a jury for weeks, depending on the case, and potentially having to travel quite a long distance every day, but yet you don't get any even travel expenses for it.
I thought you did.
No travel expenses. You get lunch on the day. If you're on an actual jury, you will get, and serving on a jury, you'll get lunch.
Maybe it's if you're called as a witness. If you're summoned as a witness, you might get travel. I could be, someone will correct me about that. I thought from an experience I had previously, maybe that's if you're a witness, you might get the travel expense of that. But in your situation anyway, Alan, you didn't. It's been called for jury. There was no, so you were going to be out of pocket if you had to travel for this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah. You know, and
yeah.
I mean, the case that I had to get myself excused for went on, it was a fairly high-profile one. It went on for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, so I would have been in there every day for 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm. And so your employer, of course, if you're not self-employed, your employer would have to, you know, excuse you and allow you to do it,
yeah,
as part of your civic,
yeah,
duty.
You know, I'm just looking at the US here. Grand jury jurors get up to $60 a day, you know, reimbursement for doing jury service.
Yeah.
You know, and it was always, a kind of indication from the judge prior to, you know, the ballot being done, that it was hard to get people to serve on juries, you know, but they're not really making it easier by putting people out of pocket potentially quite a lot.
No, but I suppose you don't want to pay people either. I think I would be against that, because sure, then you'd have people that would, you might have some people who'd want a trial to linger on for days on end,
yeah,
if there was going to be top dollar.
I got the impression, I could be wrong here, but I got the impression at least once that there were people, maybe they were just there to observe, you know, that it were actually would turn up every day, put themselves forward or something.
Right. I mean, the public, all right, I suppose, would be there. Susie is with us too, Alan. Susie, you want to make the point, I believe, people shouldn't be put off. Like, it is their civic duty after all. Susie there, no? Thought we'd Susie. No, we'll try and get Susie back. Julie, good afternoon.
Hi, Andrea, how are you?
Good. You've been called for jury duty before.
I have. It was over 10 years ago now, but I was called to Central Criminal Court and I was on a murder trial for 2 weeks. And while I was happy to do it, I actually really kind of wanted to do it, civic duty. And, you know, I think everyone should step up to the plate if they're asked. But on day one, we were handed a big folder of Gardaí photographs from the crime scene. And it was quite an unusual case. I won't go into any details. It was quite high profile. But needless to say, the poor family had a closed casket, so you can imagine what we were seeing in these photos. And I would call myself quite mentally robust. I could deal with it. I, you know, it was shocking and it was awful, but I could deal with it. You know, I'm kind of, maybe that's how I'm built, but I can only imagine if people were anyway fragile or have been through a trauma themselves, looking at those photos were horrific, you know, and that's first, that's day one.
So we can only imagine what was to come in the 2 weeks after that, and then listening
and
to
Mary
the detail.
Mary Cassidy was on the stand for a couple of days, and obviously she goes into great detail as well, and it is horrific. I found the whole process quite fascinating myself, but as you were saying earlier, anyone who isn't that way inclined, like, would just find it awful, and to have no support is quite shocking, actually, you know.
So there was no mention of, well, even if you were to do it, like, there's nothing said to you at the end, that thanks very much for your service, your time, your contribution. Were you told you didn't have to come back again, you know, that you'd be excused?
I was told excused for 5 years.
Right.
So that's well and truly up, but I haven't been called since.
Yeah.
No, we deliberated for 4 hours, and I found it quite traumatic going back into the courtroom to give your verdict. Like, the poor, poor family who's been there for 2 weeks listening to all this. And I just, the responsibility is overwhelming, because it's, you're responsible for the person sitting in the dock, obviously.
Mm.
But you have a huge responsibility for
it
the
is.
Family,
My
you
God,
know,
it's
to make
huge,
that right
yeah.
decision. They've already had, you know, the trauma of losing their loved one. But then you want to make sure you give the right decision for them, you know. And it's I found the responsibility even more daunting than even what I was seeing every day, you know.
I suppose, like, and the idea that you were given, there was no conversation at all afterwards to see how people were, or here's who you could reach out if you wanted support. So perhaps we as a state offer some kind of support or counselling for people who... maybe want to chat about
definitely.
The trauma.
As I said, it didn't affect me that way. You know, literally, we gave our verdict. We all went to the pub afterwards. All the jurors met a few of the Gardaí on the case. Actually, they were thanking us for the verdict. But we literally had a drink and went our separate ways. Never saw them again. Couldn't even really remember them anymore. But that was it. You go back to work on Monday. That was Friday, back to work on Monday, and that's it. But it's you're absolutely seeing things that you probably shouldn't ever see in your lifetime.
Well, most people in their lifetime, like, you know, I often, and Connor, you made that point as well, Connor Hanley, a few moments ago, like, the very vast majority of people will never step inside. Their only experience of a courtroom will be watching something on Netflix. You know, they'll never have been inside a courtroom. Majority of people won't. It's a traumatising experience.
It is, but the amateur status, if you like, of the jury is pretty much exactly its point. We're taking people from the community at random, and we're asking them to sit in judgment and decide innocence or guilt in the name of the community. They're not supposed to be professional. And in fact, professionals who are involved in the criminal justice system at present under the Juries Act are largely excluded.
Mm.
So we actually want a group of ordinary people who can sit as representatives of the community.
Yeah, listener here has got in contact to say, when we lived in the UK, my husband was called to do jury service. It was a long, drawn-out drugs case. It lasted about 6 months with police protection 24 hours a day. It was hugely complicated and involved. And what he said, by the end, the jurors would have convicted themselves just to get it over with. He was exempt for life, though, says this listener. Another texter, I served in a jury twice. It's not a nice experience. It's really tough. I'm not sure I'd ever want to be called again. I have to say, like, I can't understand why we couldn't and wouldn't provide some sort of counselling or support service for people, particularly in very difficult cases. Lunchtimelive@newstalk.com is the email, though, if you want to get in touch with us. Conor Hanley there, law lecturer in Galway, also as well, reporter Anne Murphy. Thanks a million too to our callers for getting in touch with us today. Fascinating insight into what happens while you're sitting on a jury.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.